I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
To another edition and a sparkling new year edition of The Thought Police.
Welcome back.
Yeah, I mean, you've been away, you've been in Lanzarote.
Yeah, I had a great time.
I was in Scotland. I also had a great time. We'll have to talk about that.
Yeah.
And it's a fantastic January so far, isn't it?
It's not bad, apart from the fact that we're going to have World War III breaking out.
I was going to ask
putting
you
that aside.
I was going to ask you if you were going to be one of those people that said World War III is coming, because there was a great tweet the other day from someone, it was January the 2nd, this is going to be a great year.
Yeah.
You know, January the 5th, we're going to have World War III.
We're going to be annihilated.
Well, I mean, you did say what we're going to talk about once Brexit happens. Well, now we know.
Yeah.
Well, no.
Brexit hasn't happened yet, anyway.
No, so that's true. No, yeah. But I'm not sure if you wanted to talk about that.
I'm not even counting.
Do you know, I went to Scotland and not one person mentioned it. Not one.
Really?
Not
did
one
they
person.
Talk about Indie Red?
A little bit. Yeah. A little bit, yeah. I met my friend Donald, you know, who's the guy we talked about before.
Yeah.
In fact, because I spent some time, we spent four nights, I think, at Turnberry, which was great.
Yeah. Did you play golf?
I didn't, you know, I kind of wanted to. But the trouble is, my 15-year-old's only just got an interest in the game, and he's not really good enough.
He's not Turnberry standard.
To take out on the links.
No,
I mean, he would have been if he was at that mirror think tank, obviously. But so I thought, I don't want to subject him to that, because if you can't really hit the ball properly, I mean, he's okay on a range, but he's still like missing the ball occasionally.
It might put him off a bit.
And it might just put him off. Yeah, and you know, I want to humiliate him properly.
Having his dad screaming at him to improve.
What the hell are you doing? Or, you know, worse, putting a ball into the lighthouse or something, you know, which has now become a very luxurious little cabin. Where you could stay, yeah.
You're kidding. Well, you can stay in the Turnberry.
You can actually stay in the lighthouse, they've turned it, but it's very expensive. It's about $2,000 a night or something. But it was beautiful. I mean, Trump, I have to say, I was slightly concerned that Trump might kind of trump it up and make it look horrendously kind of gilt-edged and, you know, Trump Britain everywhere. But it's not. And it's really, really nice. What he's done with the villas, which is where we were, is he's taken what was a sort of two up, two down scenario, where you had two bedrooms upstairs and a lounge and a kitchen downstairs. And then one identical next door, sort of semi-detached. He's actually made them horizontal.
Okay.
So you go upstairs and you have the whole area.
Ah.
So it was massive. You know, we had a dog there.
What, like an all open plan?
Yeah, well, the bedrooms were separated. Nice. But kitchen, and then a great big living room with a dining table.
Nice.
Views of Elsa Craig. It was really
gold beautiful. Toilets.
And also, funnily enough, I mean, gold taps or brass taps. But you know, you get loads of those in loads of hotels, yeah. you know. But it was yeah. very tastefully done, and also the service was magnificent. So if anybody says to me, Donald Trump's clearly an idiot, yeah. he can't run any businesses,
yeah.
I'll tell you what he can do, is he can get people to make sure that you feel happy when you're in his hotel.
Mate, it'll be on an Iranian target list.
Well, maybe so. Yeah. You know, he may be taking out a few more Iranian killers. You know, I'm all for it, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I've heard people say, oh, he didn't get a fair trial. This bloke's
who
murdered
said that?
Thousands of people.
Who's, not even I would, that wouldn't even cross
well,
my mind.
I'd hate to say this, but it was Matthew Wright, just before
oh, really?
I left the building today,
oh, dear.
Who apparently said that he should have had a fair trial.
Oh, dear.
Now, I didn't, I've, this was reported to me, so if I'm wrong, right. I'm sorry. But it sounds like the sort of thing you
well,
would
there's
say.
A brilliant documentary on this guy, on the
yeah.
iPlayer.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
No, but really? I saw somebody putting it out yesterday.
Well, it was fantastic, because it was done before he was
I mean,
killed.
Goebbels-esque.
Oh, the guy is like 100% evil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the idea, I mean, what I loved about it was it's kind of Homeland style execution.
Yes.
You could just see crazy Carrie running about in a Chevy Suburban yeah. around the corner, you know, pinpointing it with the
yeah.
lens, you know,
yeah.
the pen they've got.
Where they Is that just, what they do?
Well, they paint the target, don't they?
Right.
And, you know, you never seen Homeland?
I sort of watched the first
And they've got, like, you know, they've got this guy in a bunker somewhere in Washington, yeah. D.C., you know, with what looks like a PlayStation.
Yeah.
And he just goes, ping.
Yeah.
And not only did they pick the guy out from... the convoy of cars, but
yeah.
they picked out the car he was in.
Wow.
And there was three cars, and they hit the one he was
That's
in.
That's amazing.
Isn't that incredible? So if I was an Iranian
yeah.
right now, I'd be going, they seem to have some pretty good intelligence on what's going on.
Yeah.
I don't think we should really step out of line here.
Those drones, they're a lot of them are piloted
yeah.
in an airbase, a US airbase near Las Vegas.
Right.
And which I always think
well, down like, sort of near Area 51 or something.
Well, it's about 10 miles outside of Vegas,
right.
And the only reason I know that I started looking into it because we saw one of them flying around, and
oh,
it was
yeah.
obviously somebody.
They're quite weird looking, aren't they?
Very strange, and they look a bit like cruise missiles,
yeah.
which is a bit unnerving.
Yeah,
but I find it absolutely incredible that there's a guy sitting in a booth in Las Vegas,
mm.
and as you say, like a video game,
right.
piloting something literally the other side of the world.
Yeah.
Dropping bombs on cars.
I don't want to alarm you, but my fingers started bleeding.
Oh,
again, which is completely
yeah.
different.
It's not the same one.
No,
is it?
It's a completely different thing. I managed to, on the weekend, I managed to put my hand into the dishwasher
yeah.
to take stuff out.
Yeah, oh,
and jabbed it on one of those, you know, those food processing things.
Oh,
great. Oh my God.
Yeah,
I mean, I literally just touched it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a tiny, tiny cut.
Do you need to, I don't want you to mess my carpet up.
No, I'm not going to bleed.
Can you bleed on your shirt?
The last time. Yeah, I will, yeah. Although I've got to be careful now, right?
Yeah.
Because I've come from not only. You know, a radio studio, a TV studio.
Yeah,
and
lucky
one
good
streaming.
Shirt.
Well, it's the one good one I've got today, you know. Actually, but funny enough, it becomes a thing,
yeah.
right? Because I've now got to, I mean, today they wanted me to wear a tie, right? So I wore a tie, I had a
really?
Red tie
yeah.
and a blue jacket, right?
Yeah.
People were making all sorts. Some guy, the funniest comment I got on YouTube was some guy who said, why don't you ditch the shirt and tie and put on some shorts and a T-shirt
yeah.
and do the show on a treadmill? That you can get fit while you're doing it.
Perfect.
We'd all have a great fun laughing.
Great
at you.
Suggestion.
I think it's great. It could happen in the summer, you know. No, but you suddenly, I'm thinking about already. I've got
your
to get
image.
Some cleaners this afternoon.
Yeah.
To make sure I've got enough shirts.
Do you own your image rights?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you should represent. Maybe you should like to be my agent.
I've got a fiver in my pocket. I might buy
yeah.
them
well,
here and there.
I mean, some people you would be surprised to know
yeah.
may not wish to be associated with my image. You know, they may actually say, to be honest, no, we'll just leave it, thanks. But
we'll have to think of something you could advertise brilliantly.
Well, there's got to be loads of things.
Yeah.
I've often thought about doing voiceover work, actually. In fact,
yeah.
the only reason I didn't do it was because somebody said to me, the problem with voiceover work is it's very sort of iffy. Like, you get a call at, say, 9 o'clock in the morning to say, can you get to this studio in Soho at 10?
Yeah.
And you might be there all day.
Right.
But they don't tell you very long, you know, long in advance because it's kind of chaotic.
But you can make a fortune, can't you?
Well, you can if you're always free.
And they pay you every time that the ads play, don't they?
Yes, I think
yeah.
so.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's maybe two ways of doing that.
Yeah. One of the kids in my kid's school,
yeah.
his dad was the face of a very famous detergent cleaner thing.
Oh, really?
Right, a very,
not Cillit Bang.
I couldn't possibly
say.
But... But,
those are some of the worst adverts I've ever seen.
Well, I think he's been laughing all the way to the bank.
Well,
he's done very well.
That's very true.
Yeah.
I mean, as part of my activities on Twitter over the weekend. I was getting stuck into some of this. I know it's barristers at the moment, but there are barristers all over the place coming out of the woodwork.
Julian Moore made a bit of a fool of
him. He's not been seen since. No. I mean, he's literally disappeared.
Someone taking a baseball bat to him.
Well, I think he's been put under strict orders from Mrs. Moore, I suspect.
I mean, I've been there. I've made that mistake, but not quite on that scale. Well, I mean, I don't think I'd have tweeted that.
Well, I think the only thing you can take from it is that he said he was hungover, right? So I think he must have still been a bit pissed.
Yeah.
Because you know that way when you wake up
and
your judgment is a little bit askew and you think, I'll just go back to bed.
And I'm going
to
bat, but instead,
I'll tell you what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to go and take that baseball bat outside and batter a fox and then tweet about it and laugh.
I mean, it was the tweet. I mean, why? Yeah. All right. You know,
listen, we've all had to do things with animals, I'm sure. I mean, when I say that. I realise that didn't
thing I told you we would never talk about on this podcast was me and animals.
But you know, I mean, I've had, like, for example, we have a lot of rabbits in the garden, right? It's very rural down in Sussex, right? And there was one rabbit one day, Ziggy the dog goes after it and it didn't move. Because it was obviously there was something wrong with it, right? So he was just about as shocked as we all were when he managed to get it in his mouth.
Oh my God.
And, you know, there was a lot of screaming and gnashing of teeth from, you know, her indoors. And we had to get Ziggy off. And it turned out the rabbit just didn't look very well at all.
It had been mauled by your dog.
Before it had been mauled, there was also something. There was already something wrong with it, right?
It was just shitting itself.
Yeah, but she fucking rings the vet.
That's what they do. Stay still.
Yeah,
it's not like Watership Down. They're dead.
Well, no. Normally they run off, right? And he's not fast enough to catch them. But he just goes running off.
Anyway, so he mauls this rabbit.
So the rabbit's now bleeding, right?
Yeah.
She like picks up the rabbit, puts it in a sort of safe place away from the dog.
Yeah.
Then calls the vet, and it's like a Sunday or something, right? So we have to take the rabbit. She takes the rabbit to the vet, so the vet can put it down.
Oh God!
I mean, to be honest, I mean, can we just hit it with a brick?
Well, I remember when I was a kid, one of the most traumatic things that I've ever experienced was a sort of limping pigeon in our garden. And my mum decided that this thing, you know, was going to get slowly eaten by foxes or something. Right. So the kind thing to do would be to put it out of its misery.
Well, it depends on the form you do that with.
What she did was she put it into a clear plastic bag,
right,
and then put it under the rear wheel of our car.
No.
And reversed over it.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah.
That's horrendous.
Yes.
And then what did she do? Just leave it there?
I mean, she had the foresight to put it into the bag so she could just pick the bag up and drop it into
it. And also it doesn't mess up the tyre.
No, totally. Very nice. But it was just the sort of,
Yeah, but that's what I mean. I mean, what I'm saying is we've all had incidents with animals, right?
But I never tweeted.
But you wouldn't tweet out, my mum just did.
Run over a pigeon, you know, ha, on purpose.
But then also, because all these other wanky lawyers that he's mates with were sort of having a laugh about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, were you dressed properly? And that was when he revealed he was wearing his wife's kimono.
Right? Oh, I didn't even
did
see
you not know that?
No,
he was wearing his... He then confessed to wearing his wife's kimono, right?
As he battered this
thing senseless with his baseball bat, right? And they're all sort of choking backwards and forwards, all words, you know, have you informed the hunt and all this kind of stuff. I mean, you could tell that he was not taking it seriously, you know. Yeah. So when later he decided to try and backtrack and go, oh, well, you know, the thing is I was in shock and so probably, you know, I wasn't quite sure what I was saying. No, mate, you were fucking having a laugh about the fact that you just murdered a fox, right? And he's not been on Twitter since Boxing Day. And this is a bloke who, you know him. I mean, I actually tweeted out at one point, I don't know whether you saw it, couldn't he have just bored it to death with one of those long threads about Brexit, you know, which goes on to fucking thousands of words about, you know, the meaning of the Withdrawal Act, Part 98. But yeah,
I think he could probably do with an enforced break from Twitter.
I think he probably could.
But there's a lot of people who could do with a break from Twitter.
Well, it's gone very strange, Twitter, because there's now quite a few sort of Corbynistas out there, nasty, horrible people.
Yes.
You know, because I was making some remarks this weekend about how, isn't it interesting, Andrew Marr does an entire interview with Jess Phillips, who's obviously had the whole hair and makeup makeover to appear as if she could be like leadership material. Doesn't ask her about anti-Semitism and Labour Party. Yeah. You know, this is the world's supposedly greatest interviewer on the world's greatest radio television station. Yeah.
He seems he's very ropey, isn't he?
I don't think he's up to the job anymore, really? To be honest. And I don't wish to give him, you know, him an excuse to have a go at me because of his health. But I mean, he had a stroke. Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not saying that he can't work anymore, but I don't think he's not as good as he used to be.
That's a shame. Did you see that documentary you made when he went to try and get it some magic injection?
No, somewhere? I don't think so.
Oh my God, it was bizarre. And he'd read about this. I think I might be remembering this completely wrong, but they inject some serum into your spine or something.
Like sheep's.
Or somebody else's, you know, bone marrow. Oh, yeah. I don't know, whatever it was. And this guy, this surgeon in the States, claims to have a really good success rate at sort of bringing paralysed parts of people back to movement.
Okay.
And he went through the whole process.
He's not paralysed, is he?
No, he's not. But he's got, like, you know, he's got this.
I mean, he's got full movement. No, his face is partially paralysed.
And when you see him, actually, when you see, he's a lot more kind of damaged by the stroke than people.
Well, it's not surprising. Yeah, I mean, it's not his fault. I'm not saying that, you know, he's useless because he's had a stroke.
No.
But he's clearly not very fit and healthy.
But it struck me, if you see this documentary, the whole thing was just like absolute bollocks from start to finish. Right. And you sort of thought, mate, what, you know, can't you see through this nonsense?
Well, this is the big question people are asking about Julian Moore. You know, if this is the guy's judgment, what the hell is he doing? You know, why have we even been giving him the oxygen publicity?
I mean, we all knew
he was a bit of an obsessive and a bit kind of, you know, off the scale eccentric.
Yeah.
But he's clearly worse than that.
I wonder whether we'd all be better off without social media completely.
I think you might be right.
Yeah, but I said that to a mate and he said, well, hang on a minute. There's been loads of really good stuff come through social
media. That's true.
And, you know, people have been empowered. And
I mean, there's an awful lot of fundraising that goes on.
Yeah, for one thing.
I mean, you know, you might be surprised to know that I actually gave to a charitable organisation over the period.
I wouldn't be surprised. Christmas. You're a very generous man.
I am. And also, it's a favourite... sort of habit of mine to support people that I know, and so Jack McConnell, the old First Minister of Scotland, who's a mate of mine, has a fund that he runs every year where he raises money for kids in Malawi or something like that.
Good.
So I gave him quite a lot of money.
Good.
And he was very happy. Called me a superstar.
Very good.
But obviously I don't want to brag about it because that'd be wrong.
Don't mention that because
I won't.
I hate people who talk about this.
Yeah, exactly. But what I'm saying is that, you know, if it wasn't for social media, because that was on Facebook,
I wouldn't know about it. Yeah.
I wouldn't go walk into a charity shop and say, you know, here's
I guess the problem quid. Is that it's brought us all together, but now that we're all together, we've realised what a bunch of twats we all are.
Well, I think the trouble is, what it has done is it's given people a kind of false sense of themselves, it's given everybody the belief that actually their opinion matters and that they can impose it on anyone they want.
Yeah,
and I think that's the problem. It's almost as though people are acting without any kind of etiquette. I don't know if you've ever seen, there's a great video that was done by some Australian people, and it's, I think it's like a comedy troupe or something like that, about what Facebook's actually like in real life, you know.
And so you
get this guy walking down the street, and this guy just starts following him. You go, what you doing, mate? You know, what you doing?
Yeah.
And he's like, get lost. And he puts a fence in front of him, you know, and it's blocking people. It's really funny.
Yeah.
And it's exactly like that.
It is.
Because that's not the way we should be behaving towards each other.
No.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money. But nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It really has, probably on balance, I think it's probably damaged society, and it's sort of enabled a lot of bad folk to get a lot of shit across.
Yes, it has. Yeah. It has. And I think you have to be quite robust to be able to deal with it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you had your experience with it and you dealt with it fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had several run-ins with people. I've learned some lessons about what not to do and how to do it better.
Yeah.
And I'm okay because I'm a relatively robust individual.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's not nice. And I've been subjected to it, as you have.
Yeah.
When you wake up and there's literally thousands of people calling you a cunt
or
whatever, you know, because of something that you said.
Strangers.
And you can't pretend it doesn't affect you.
No, and the thing I found worst of all, and but in case people don't know, I made a very ill-advised gag about old people. And
do you know what? In some contexts, it would have been fine.
Of course it would.
But that's the other thing. There's no context on Twitter, right?
But what I found really painful was seeing some of the abuse I got and then clicking on the profiles of people. And they were all reasonable people, you know.
Yeah.
It wasn't just
crazy people,
you know, the crazies. Mm. It was like, and I thought, oh my God, there's a load of real people out there who think I'm a twat. Maybe I am.
Right.
You know, and that puts you into a sort of dark place.
Well, not as bad probably as me when I woke up after my encounter with some Liverpool people. And it was one Liverpool fan, actually, I was over around with. And, you know...
What, on the radio?
No, this was on Twitter.
Oh, right.
And I woke up a bit like Julian Moore the following morning.
Yeah.
So the kids were all going off with their mother to Centre Pass or something. I wasn't, thankfully. I was going back to work that night. And I saw there was a load of kind of people moaning about something. And there was quite a lot of them. And I thought, they're my kids, you know.
Yeah.
And I sort of gave them some more. Next time I woke up, Robbie Fowler had retweeted with the word wow over the top.
Oh, no.
And he's got about 2 million followers or something.
Oh,
and
no.
I was like, oh, Christ.
What was it you said?
Well, I was having a row. I basically...
Should I be... am I going to now get... ostracised?
No, it was about Heysel, basically.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
And I was sort of giving them some shit about the fact that, you know, Liverpool fans had caused the deaths of a load of Italian football fans.
Right.
Which was true.
Yeah.
Which they did.
Bad stadium.
They were done for manslaughter.
Yeah,
so, they were actually... Yeah.
But the stadium was... Anyway, let's not go into
it. Yeah, let's not get into it. Anyway, but I chose the wrong word to use.
Yeah.
Right, probably.
Yeah.
In retrospect,
what was that?
I'm not going to say.
No, okay.
But I had the Anfield rap after me.
Can I just make it clear that I am ignorant to this slur on the City of Liverpool? Mike has perpetrated.
It was not a slur on the City of Liverpool at all, and it was never intended to be. But it was a little bit hairy at one point, because I was working for TalkSport at the time.
And Scousers get very defensive.
They do.
I mean, you know, whether you think it's a good thing or a bad thing, but I remember John McCririck once. Say, coming to Ainsley for the Grand National and standing there, do you remember, like a pillar, you know, with all this kind of tweed on and all of this business? And there were loads of Liverpudlians around him, sort of having a bit of fun. Mm. And McCririck said in the middle of this crowd, "This race is too good for this city." You know?
Do you remember?
He was hounded out.
Yeah, well, Boris Johnson was hounded, wasn't he, for saying something about the victim culture of Liverpool?
Yeah, that's right.
But do you remember the guy who ended up getting kicked off television football commentary for racism, I think, in the end?
Who was it? Ron Atkinson?
Ron Atkinson, but he, before that, had made what I thought was quite a funny comment, but he got upbraided for it. It was when, what's his name, McManaman was playing for Real Madrid, and they won the Champions League, and he was in the commentary box.
Yeah.
And McManaman gets his hands on the cup.
Yeah.
And Atkinson goes, "Oh, look, the Scouser's got it. They'll never get it back now." Which was quite funny, actually.
I think it's funny, and you do have to laugh.
But, you know, there was all complaints went into the ITV, the headquarters.
Do you remember that wonderful story, which is my all-time favourite Liverpool story, which is when they found what was thought to be a fetus on a street outside a chip shop.
Right.
And, like, an aborted fetus.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And the police were called. It was a big story, and you can Google it. It's all over the Liverpool Echo. And the police were called, and people started coming.
Yeah, I made the Liverpool Echo.
People, we'll talk about that in a second. People started coming with candles from the local church and flowers, and the thing was taken away for examination. And people were posting, you know, phoning up the Echo to post tributes to the poor little baby.
Right.
And on a bunch of flowers that was left at the roadside, there was one that said... God bless you, you're with the angels now, you know, and all of this business. Anyway, 3 hours later, the police forensics phoned the Echo and said, "It's not a fetus, it's a chicken wing." So there was a shrine laid out outside this chippy with flowers and candles burning to a chicken wing.
It does show you, though, that is precisely what social media is now like.
Yeah.
Because as soon as somebody says, "Look at that fetus over there,"
yeah,
everybody's going, "That's terrible.
My God,
isn't that awful?"
Yeah.
Nobody actually bothers to check to see whether it is or to see whether the one fact that's in the tweet is actually correct. I mean, you know, I was reading this out on the show earlier today. Rose McGowan, you know, the actress who has been accused or has accused Harvey Weinstein of raping her and all that, and who's kind of the poster girl for the Me Too campaign.
I spoke to her. She came over for the GQ Awards.
Oh, did she?
A great speech. And I chatted
did you not
to
think
her.
She was a bit mad?
She is a bit mad, clearly. No, I went up to her and I said, I really liked your speech. And she sort of like gave me a long, transy sort of stare. And then said,
probably thought that you were up to no good.
I think she was waiting for me to assault her.
Yeah.
And when I didn't, she just thanked me and left.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah. She could be one of the good guys too, Matt. You know. Okay. So she puts out this tweet to Iran, apologising for killing the guy, right? And saying, we are currently being held hostage by a terrorist regime. Don't kill us.
Oh, my God.
That's what it says. And you think...
No, she's nuts.
What is wrong with you? Yeah. You know, you live in the United States of America. Yeah. Do you know what they do in Iran? They fucking hang homosexuals, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They shoot you dead and torture you if you don't agree with the regime.
Did you see the Ricky Gervais monologue?
I did.
Fantastic.
Brilliant, wasn't it?
I mean, absolute top quality.
Only he could get away with that. But, because he's so rich that actually he doesn't care.
And he doesn't care.
And if they fired him,
yeah.
the actual Golden Globes would be worse off.
Yeah, and everyone knows he's going to do it.
Yeah.
So each year he can just do it worse.
But
and
my
worse and
my favourite is watching the sort of the grimaces
yeah.
as they all try and pretend.
Tom Hanks
great.
Tom Hanks was sort of doing half a smile, half a frown.
Just couldn't tell because also they can't tell whether they should be seen smiling or not.
De Niro was pissing himself throughout. I thought it was
I know.
Good.
Listen, I think Gervais was great. But what we haven't talked about is your holiday. And my holiday properly, not much, but yours, more importantly. I have to say, I think it's fair to say, you didn't think you were going to one of the great places in the world.
I didn't.
You thought you were going on a sort of budget Christmas holiday.
Well, it was, I knew it wasn't budget, mate, I can assure you that. But I went to Lanzarote, right, which I've never been to, and all my life I've heard referred to as Lanzarote, right? And 2 days...
But I think the Canaries is very badly undersold, you know.
Well, we've been to Tenerife,
right.
And Tenerife was nice, but I found it a bit kind of boring.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could have been anywhere.
Really. Right. Isn't that where they have the black beaches there?
Yeah, no, but, mate, they've got a bit of that. And they've got a massive volcano in Tenerife.
Right.
But Lanzarote, you've never seen anything like it. It is... About half the island is just lava fields.
Mm.
And in 1730, they had, like, huge 30-odd... volcanoes
really?
Suddenly went
right.
up and covered literally half the island. And
right.
you see the lava fields are like the Blitz.
Mm.
You know,
it's
like
nothing there.
It's like a tarmac road
tundra,
that's been turned
yeah.
turned inside
wow.
out. And then you go on these beaches, they're black and or red and cactuses
mm.
in places, but basically very barren.
Right.
And the place itself was lovely. And there was an artist there. He's got this amazing... His name's Cesar Manrique.
Okay.
And... He, if anyone goes to Lanzarote, you should go and see his house. He's got a foundation, and he built rooms, huge rooms, in these, what they call lava bubbles, because
right.
that's the thing cools really quickly.
Okay.
It forms kind of big
right.
bubbles. Places with a swimming pool and all of this business, and lovely.
So was that the resort then you were at?
No, so that was near a resort.
Okay.
And you can hire a car for like 20 quid in Lanzarote for some reason, really cheap. And so we drove around, beautiful, beautiful island, loads to do. But this guy, Manrique, he was very influential with the planners
right.
and said, no house can be more than 2 stories and no hotel can be more than 4 stories.
Right.
And they've got to be set into the place,
right.
into the landscape.
Okay.
And we're going to have 3 resorts and they're going to be fairly low-key. And they are. So you've got Playa Blanca,
right.
Playa del Carmen, I think, and another place.
Nice.
And, mate, honestly, I will go back and back and
really?
Back. I loved it.
And what was it like being away for Christmas then? Because have you
great.
Done that before?
No, never.
Because we found it terrific, right? We got to this
yeah.
place and they had a Christmas tree
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
And we'd take in a load of... I mean, the one thing I would do differently is I wouldn't take... is we drove, right?
Right.
And, of course, the dog's in the back. And I kept... No matter how much I told her that we didn't have any room for anything, she
yeah.
just kept producing more and more. But I'm like, what are you doing? I said, we're in a car. The dog's in the back where all the luggage
yeah.
is normally going to go.
Yeah.
So all the luggage is now going to have to be piled into the rest of the car.
Yeah.
So, you know, the kids were sitting there with bags on their laps. You know, we stopped. Oh, I have to say, we stopped in St. Helens.
Mm.
Jesus Christ almighty.
What are you doing in St. Helens?
Talk about lava.
Why did you go to St. Helens?
Well, because one of the things we did was we found out that Travelodge,
yeah.
As a chain... is very good for taking dogs. They're
right.
dog friendly. So
and
when
you went
got a dog,
to St. Helens Travelodge.
So we looked at the map and we thought, well, about halfway up,
yes.
there's one in St. Helens, so it
yeah.
doesn't really matter where we go,
yeah.
right? We might as well just go there. Jesus Christ, I've never seen anything like it. I mean, I kid you not, if I tell you, we took the dog out for a walk the following morning to this kind of what was like a playing field, like
yeah.
a football pitch and a kind of kids' playground. And I was literally saying to her, the dog's going to step on some kind of needle here
yeah.
and just get AIDS or something, you know, because It's literally that rough. It's, and the kids playing football were looking leery at us because we didn't have, you know, we sounded like we were from London.
Yeah.
I thought, we're not going to make it out of here alive.
But they're good, normal, working class people.
No.
Or woolly bugs, as we would call them in Liverpool.
Well, they're halfway between Liverpool and Manchester.
Yeah, so they get tarred with the name woolly bugs.
But the thing that did occur to me was that we drove down this road and we were in Wigan.
Yeah.
Lisa Nandy's constituency. Yeah, great. So I tapped my hat to Wigan.
Wigan's pretty.
Because, of course, it voted 73% to leave the European Union.
That's right.
And I can't believe that Lisa Nandy, the woke sort of, you know, generation of the Labour Party, represents them. Yeah. Because I can't believe.
She's not very Wigan. No.
She's very un-Wigan, I would say. Yeah. But
we should talk about that on Thursday, the Labour.
We should, actually. That's State very, of Labour. Yeah, because that's important. Because
they'll put people off.
Well, one of the things I was saying this weekend was, you know, what is the point of interviewing all these people and putting them on TV? Not one of them is going to have any effect on anything over the course of the next five to ten years. Certainly five. But I found the whole idea of being away for Christmas actually quite nice.
I loved it. I mean, obviously, you want to be with your family as much as you can. So my mum and dad and my brother, they had their own Christmas here in the UK.
Right.
But
so it was just your immediate... Just you
plus
and kids.
My wife's sister and husband and their kids.
Okay.
And one of the reasons we wanted to get away was my marvellous mother-in-law died this time last year, so they wanted to sort of just make a break. But it was terrific. It was, the kids had loads to do.
Right.
Getting a bit of sun on your face at this time of year is lovely. I would do it. We actually had sun
in Scotland. And the thing that I find about going to places like Turnberry as well is that it's kind of inspiring to me. I don't know whether it's because I'm actually Scottish or something, but I actually feel uplifted by it.
Both my kids
are born, you know, one of them was born in Glasgow, the other was born in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
So they're actually born in Scotland, you know, and they weren't quite as enthusiastic about it as I was, but it's so beautiful up there. We went onto the beach at Girvan on the day before, was it Christmas Day? I think it was Christmas Eve day, and the sun was shining and the water was really dark blue. And it was just beautiful, you know, and it's a very clean country, for want of a better word. You know?
I feel like that about the Lake District, funny enough, every time I go there.
It's not very diverse, though, the Lake District. You'll have seen that story.
Did I miss that?
Oh, my God. Well, we've got a new entry for Plank of the Week this week. There's a guy called Leaf. I can't remember his first name. Christopher Leaf, maybe. He's the boss of the Lake District sort of tourist board.
Right? Yeah.
He came out with this bullshit about how he was a bit worried that the Lake District was very white.
Right.
And it wasn't attracting enough diverse tourism.
Right.
And that basically they need to bring more disabled people in as well. So what he thinks he should do is make it, sort of tarmac it over, effectively.
Great.
So that you can get much more easy access.
Great.
Rather than, you know, it's very difficult.
What, fells and
stuff. Yeah, if you're in a wheelchair, you can't obviously, you know.
At some point you've got to say, I'm sorry, that's impractical.
Well, I said, what are you going to, you know, what about Mount Everest? Yeah. You know, what are you going to do? Put a giant ladder up so that everybody can get up Mount Everest.
Which is pretty much what they've done anyway.
Well, yeah, but you know, the point is you can't make everything accessible to everyone.
No, you can't. Any New Year's resolutions?
Me?
Yeah.
Nah, I never make New Year's resolutions because I have no discipline whatsoever.
Right.
Although I gave up smoking years ago.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's a big, massive one.
But no, I never really bother making years. It's just for the same reason I never go dry January. Don't you?
Yeah, well...
Not go dry February last year?
I did dry October, September, November and most of December until we went on holiday. We had free drinks.
That's right, I remember that.
So I had loads of...
So did you drink over Christmas?
Yeah. And I drank up to New Year's. I drank on January the 1st, but I haven't had a drink since, and I won't drink now until my wife's birthday, which is later on. At the end of January.
That's good.
Yeah.
I got, when I was at Donald's house, he's got this massive big house in a place called Linlithgow, where Mary Queen of Scots used to live.
Yeah. He lives in the house where Mary Queen of Scots used to live?
No, it's bigger. The palace, right, is about half the size of his house.
Right.
He used to do the most remarkable, like, fireworks parties,
which
were literally like the stuff you'd see at New Year, you know. But he's given it up now. He says it was too expensive. I'm like, all right, okay. He's just bought a Bentley.
Oh,
I mean, the guy is, you know, doing all right.
Nice.
Anyway, he cracks open this champagne, right? And I didn't think anything of it. It turned out it was vintage Dom Perignon, 2008 or something, which we looked up in the car later. It was worth something like 200 quid.
Oh, my God.
Just to buy in a shop.
I always
and, of course, we finished one. I'm like, you're getting another one out. Yeah. He brought another one out.
Fantastic.
But he also then, we had this oxid. Have you seen these things? He's a big wine aficionado, and he needs things that you oxidize wine through.
Yeah.
And you pour it through, and it makes a hissing noise.
It gurgles and stuff, doesn't it?
They had one of those.
Yeah.
And we were drinking this ridiculously expensive wine from Portugal that he brought back.
Yeah. I think it's all in the mind, that stuff. You know?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think he was expecting me to drink quite so quickly as I did. Although, I mean, he's not a man for, you know, being shy about drinking.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I was knocking back this stuff, and he said, well, if you bought this in the ubiquitous chip, it would be about 400 quid.
Bloody hell.
I don't go,
Christ. Well, Pierce is always doing that on Facebook.
Yeah.
I always check to see how much they are.
Right.
Just because I'm jealous.
He's actually, I've seen him drinking something that was worth thousands.
A thousand?
I'm sure.
Like, I think it was a Pomerol or something from 1956 or something mad.
I know.
When I put it up, it was like $3,000.
Well, this is the thing, right? So we're going to Donald's house, and I'm like, we better get him something, you know. I'd been in Girvan. All they had there was an Asda. And all I found in there that was in anywhere near a decent bottle was a Chablis. So about 8, 9, 10 quid or so, I bought that. Then we came to Lithgow, went to the Sainsbury's. The best they had was a Chateauneuf du Pape, like 20 quid.
Yeah.
And she's going, well, that's all right, isn't it? I'm like, no, it really isn't. You know, once you meet him and you see the wine that he's going
to
bring
to
out.
To take to him.
You
can't do that.
I can't. So, you know, I bought him one of those big... donuts of Jeroboam of champagne.
Right.
64 quid Verve Clicquot, one about that size.
That's all right, isn't it?
Which he was happy with, you know, that was fine, because then it's something different.
Yeah.
But you can't take
a 20 quid bottle of wine to a guy
who's going to give you £100 of a bottle of wine the first thing.
You might as well just take a bottle of piss.
You might as well not bother. You know what I mean?
Here, this is what I think.
Yeah, this is what
here's
I think.
My
I did
piss.
This in the car.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're out of time. We better stop.
Lovely to speak to you, everyone, again.
We'll hear you on Thursday.
See you on Thursday.
He's not been seen since.
No.
I mean, he's literally disappeared.
Someone taking a baseball bat to him.
Well, I think he's been put under strict orders from Mrs. Moore, I suspect. You know,
can you imagine?
Only...
I mean, I've been there. I've made that mistake, but not quite on that scale.
Well, I mean...
I don't think I'd have tweeted that.
Well, I think the only thing you can take from it is that he said he was hungover, right? So I think he must have still been a bit pissed.
Yeah.
Because you know that way when you wake up and your judgment is a little bit askew and you think, I'll just go back to bed.
And I'm going
to
bat, but instead,
I'll tell you what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to go and take that baseball bat outside and batter a fox and then tweet about it and laugh.
I mean, it was the tweet. I mean, what?
Yeah.
All right. You know, if
listen, we've all had to do things with animals, I'm sure. I mean, when I say that... I realise that didn't
my,
come out
the
right
one
way.
Thing I told you we would never talk about on this podcast was me and animals. Probably on balance, I think it's probably damaged society, and it's sort of enabled a lot of bad folk to get a lot of shit across.
Yes, it has. Yeah. It has. And I think you have to be quite robust to be able to deal with it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you had your experience with it and you dealt with it fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had several run-ins with people. I've learned some lessons about what not to do and how to do it better. And I'm okay because I'm a relatively robust individual.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's not nice. And you know, I've been subjected to it, as you have.
Yeah.
When you wake up and there's literally thousands of people calling you a cunt
or
whatever, you know, because of something that you said.
Strangers.
And you can't pretend it doesn't affect you.
No. I think she was waiting for me to assault her.
Yeah.
But and when I didn't, she just thanked me and left.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.